This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. 7:37 Tuesday. But in the meantime, let's shift our attention to the United States, because Joe Biden rolled out his when he won the election, he rolled out his foreign policy platform, and he made a big promise. He said that if he was elected, he would gather the world's democracies at a major summit where they would show solidarity against the rising tide of authoritarianism.
Well, that promise became a reality on Thursday. Well, sort of. With the still lingering COVID-19 pandemic, it became just yet another virtual conference. Now, Biden kicked off the two-day gathering with a dire warning that there is a growing existential struggle right now between democracies and authoritative regimes, and global momentum is on authoritarians. So despite being a central theme of his foreign policy, expectations for the gathering have perhaps shrunk. A senior administration official told reporters that a big outcome to the summit would be simply having conversations about democracy. So really, will these conversations about democracy yield anything meaningful in the immediate and longer term?
Well, to help us understand whether the summit met its aims, we have on the line with us Professor Benjamin Riley. He's a political scientist at the University of Western Australia. Good morning, Professor. Now, what was the intention of the summit? I mean, what were the objectives set out by the Biden administration?
Well, it was pretty much as you just said. During the campaign, Biden made a point of distinguishing himself from former President Trump, who, as you remember, was quite happy to cozy up to dictators in North Korea and expressed his admiration for Vladimir Putin in Russia and really made it pretty clear he didn't care whether countries were democratic, autocratic or something in between. And Biden, I think, was connecting back to some very long established patterns in US foreign policy where democracy is actually an important organizing principle for the United States. The United States sees itself as having a role in promoting democracy globally. And in some senses, just bringing everyone together, as that administration official you quoted said, in a sense, is the outcome. You know, there have been other outcomes announced, but the fact that the Americans were able to get over 100 countries, some of them, it must be said, rather borderline democracies, but over 100 countries attending, as well as disputed regions like Taiwan also attending, I think was, in large part, achieved the objectives that they set out.
Yeah, but did he really bring everybody together? I mean, I think because there was so much controversy over the selection and of who was invited, not invited. So Singapore wasn't invited. Thailand, I think, understandably, wasn't. You know, what's your take on the basis of the selection?
Yeah, the selection was indeed an area of some controversy, as I think it was always going to be. Well, look, here's the problem. If you just have the purest of the pure democracies, well, for one thing, you probably wouldn't count the United States in that group anymore. You know, the United States itself is under, you know, as many political scientists would see the United States as having experienced a pretty big drop in terms of the quality of its democracy, particularly after the last 4 years. And so that's a serious issue for them. So the bar was lowered. The bar was also lowered to make sure that countries like India, that many political scientists would see more as becoming more and more autocratic under Prime Minister Modi, countries like India could still participate. In Southeast Asia, well, Malaysia was there, I think rightly. Singapore's an interesting case. Singapore has always been a bit of a litmus test for people interested in democracy, because it's obviously a very successful country economically, in terms of its governance, in terms of its efficiency, but they've never had a change of government. And there have been quite a lot of legal avenues, as indeed there have been in Malaysia over the years, such as defamation trials and sedition laws used to hamper the opposition in Singapore. So I think that's why Singapore wasn't included. Thailand has been under military rule until sort of still is, really, even though they held an election recently. So I think those sorts of cases you could argue about, you know, one way or the other. Right. The really egregious examples were a couple of Iraq was invited, for example. It's very hard to think of Iraq as a stable democracy. Angola was invited. The Democratic Republic of Congo was invited. And most analysts looking at those cases would say, well, look, the only way we can explain this is that there's some competition, often with China, going on geopolitically, and therefore an invitation was extended that really probably shouldn't have been, to include some countries that on right. most standards would not be considered democratic.
Now, you mentioned China. They were obviously absent at this meeting. Do you think this summit sends a cautionary signal, or in fact could embolden them, and honestly, they don't really care?
Well, it was interesting and quite revealing, because they obviously do care. China went to a lot of trouble, writing op-eds in the newspapers in the United States and in academic journals and putting out press releases to try and claim that it was actually a democracy. Now, let's go back to first principles. When people talk about a democracy, there are various ways you can measure it, but the most fundamental is, can you choose and change your own government via elections? So, you know, in Malaysia, the answer is yes, probably with some, you know, limitations, because you haven't had many changes of government, but you had one recently. In China, of course, the answer is no. No, people don't get to choose the government. They can't change the government, and they can't criticize the government either. And if they do, they get locked up. So I think that's the most basic way of measuring democracy. And I think most people thought China ended up looking rather silly, actually, claiming it's a democracy. I mean, it could claim that it's, economically a better model, ensures better governance. Sure, those are all legitimate debates. But to claim that it's a democracy when it doesn't meet even the most basic standards of participation or competition or indeed human rights, I think just makes it look silly.
Mm. And let's just switch attention, because in the summit, President Biden did announce some money, USD about $400 million, to fight corruption, support women and marginalized groups running for offices and such. Do you think this initiative is sufficient, and is the allocation right by region and by program?
That's a fairly small amount of money, even though, $500 million sounds good, but that's a relatively small amount of money spread globally over a number of years. It does look like there actually will be more money coming for democracy promotion activities. But as I've said, the problem for the Americans these days is that their own reputation has been really badly tarnished by the events of January 6th, the takeover of the Capitol, the ongoing unwillingness of a large number of voters for former President Trump and the Republican Party to actually accept that the election that brought Joe Biden to power was legitimate. That battle is going on within the United States every day. And so the idea that America has the same kind of legitimacy that it maybe had 20 or 30 years ago to promote democracy internationally, I think is a bit of a stretch. And I think many people would be happier to actually see the Americans spending those sorts of resources fixing their own democracy internally, so that we don't have a repeat of what happened earlier this year, or indeed a repeat of the 4 years of the Trump administration.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Professor Benjamin Riley, political scientist at the University of Western Australia, reminding us, actually, in many ways, that there is no perfect democracy. But it doesn't mean that you don't stop, because you do need to have free elections. You need to also have free press to keep everybody in check. And it's little incremental steps all the time. And even though US bastion of democracy also has rolled back a little bit, right? Yep, yep. Especially during Trump's era.
And I think that's why I think there has to be internal work done, but also the promotion of it outwardly and well. I think that's why that was the intention of this summit.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.